That's right. Welcome into 3D, hour number two. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, live from the Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators back at home tonight to take on the Colorado Avalanche, and then they head back on the road Thursday night. Reminder that the Honky Tonk Hat Trick is back tonight from 5 to 6:30 at Tootsie's, Rippies, and Honky Tonk Central, brought to you by Bud Light. Stop by any of these locations before Predators weekday home games for specials on Bud Light. While you're there, you can register for a pair of tickets to an upcoming weekday home game and passes to the Bud Light Zone, or you could win a VIP hockey experience. Our very own Braden Gall will be at Honky Tonk Central tonight, and the VIP hockey experience is a pair of tickets to an upcoming game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. Go check that out. So, Ryan, we know that a storyline for the Predators right now is they got some guys banged up. They announced earlier today that they have recalled Freddie Gaudreau, who led the team in goals in the Stanley Cup final. He'll make his Predators season regular season debut possibly tonight. But he is now back on the roster. So what do you make of what's going on with the injuries right now, even though we're still seeing the Predators accumulate some points?
Well, I think it's positive that Roman Josi, with a lower body injury, has been skating with the team. He participated in the Preds' optional morning skate this morning. We don't really know what that means for his status tonight, but I think he's the closest to coming back. Like you mentioned, Yannick Weber going on IR after taking that hit against Dallas Thursday night at home. And then Nick Bonino, there was no update on him this morning. Left the game in the second period Saturday night in Chicago. You know, I think Freddie Gaudreau being called up is a sign that they may be without Bonino for the next few games.
Right.
Freddie Gaudreau was definitely a spark plug. Like you said, he in the playoffs last year, he performed admirably in games 5 and 6 against Anaheim, coming in just completely cold. He hadn't really been with the team practicing and gets thrown in there and was fantastic. And then, you know, I would expect him to be, you know, playing fourth line center tonight or in some aspect, you know, down the middle for the Preds tonight, with Sissons and Yarncroke being the other two centers, you would assume. So this is one of those times, it happens with every team every year, where there's a phase of injuries that happen.
Right.
It happened with the Preds last winter in January when both PK Subban and Roman Josi were out for a little bit. Now they've got Ryan Ellis out. They've got Nick Bonino out. You know, we'll see about Captain Roman Josi, and Yannick Weber's out. So this is the good thing. This is the good part of having good depth that David
right.
Poile has accumulated, including 19-year-old rookie Sam Girard, that, you know, you can go to those guys in situations like this where, you know, you can count on Sam Girard to be running the power play with PK Subban and, you know, almost not miss a beat without Roman Josi on that unit, you know? I mean, it's
– oh, yeah.
It's a great position for GM David Poile to be in, the fact that he has those – that depth – with Bonino, Josi, Ellis, and all these guys out for the moment.
And that's why you stockpile depth. That's why,
exactly.
That's why, you know, when you're in free agency or you're making trades, you know, you see David Poile, he doesn't always make those flashy moves that make you go, oh, wow, that guy's going to be a Pred. He makes a lot of depth moves, and this is why. Because right now, Ryan, they're in pretty good shape. You know, we talked going into the season that we wanted to see this team have a better start than we saw last year. That was an emphasis by Peter Laviolette. Well, they're 5 games in. They have 5 points. They're 2-2-1 is their record. You know, they're not Chicago. They're not 4-1-1. But hey, I'm okay with this right now. I think it's a decent start considering that they have all these guys banged up, and I think this team's playing pretty well.
And I think it's a decent start considering they dropped the first 2 games in the fashion that they did at Boston
yes.
and at Pittsburgh. I thought last week that they're slowly getting better with every game, with these 5 games. I thought the Philadelphia game got a little sideways on them, obviously, giving up 5 consecutive goals, but the fact that they were able to bounce back and win that game – was definitely a positive. And then the defensive hockey slash even strength hockey that we saw against Dallas and Chicago, I think is a really good positive moving forward, that some of the maybe those wrinkles that that weren't going their way, that weren't completely figured out in the first two or three games, they're starting to get on track in that aspect. And that can only improve with Roman Josi getting back in the lineup whenever that happens.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, looking at the record and just being completely honest and also a little bit cynical, yeah, they probably should have one more win. I'm still upset about how that game turned out on Saturday.
They should be 3-2.
Yeah, they should. They kind of got hosed there, and I'm interested to see how they bounce back tonight against Colorado, and that's where I want to flip the script a little bit, because you look at Colorado, they're 4-2 to start the season. And, you know, I think all of us being realistic, we're thinking, okay, this isn't a very good team. They got a lot of work to do, but right now off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, Colorado was written in stone as the cellar dwellers of the Central Division this year. I mean, everyone thought there are six potential playoff teams in the Central Division, and then Colorado. And they've gotten off to a good start. I don't think it's going to last much longer. You know, the Preds went 5-0 against them last year, and I would expect them to bounce back and win tonight, the Nashville Predators. I mean, look, it's a tough game Saturday night in Chicago, but – the Preds aren't the only team where stuff like that happens to.
Yeah.
Every team, you know, we can sit here and rattle off, you know.
No, he was last week.
Well, yes. We can rattle off, you know, the stick with Matt Irwin, the Colton Sissons play in game six of the Stanley Cup final, the Phil Forsberg offsides in game one. You know, we can rattle off all these specific plays, but it's not like the Preds are the only team in the NHL that can do that. So – it happens. It's tough. It's frustrating. But they've had a couple days to recuperate from that game Saturday night and could have a couple new faces in the lineup tonight with Freddie Gaudreau being called up. We'll see when they go out for warm-ups tonight at around 6:30. But I would expect the Preds to play well tonight at home before they go out on the road for a couple games.
Yeah, and, you know, you never want – the injury bug to come around, but as you said earlier, I mean, that it's going to happen in an 82 game schedule. That's just a part of the league, that's a part of the game. But if ever there were a time, you would almost rather it happen early on in the season, you get it out of the system, get everybody healthy for the stretch, and then you're good to go. That's an ideal world. I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen, but again, you're seeing the chemistry, you're seeing a lot of these guys that were on this team last year, there wasn't too many changes, and so I think that everybody that is having to be plugged in, they're making this work.
Yeah, I think if the Preds can just stay in the picture in the Central Division until the new year,
yeah,
when they're supposed to get Ryan Ellis back at some point around then, there's obviously no pinpoint date on a return, but they do expect sometime around midseason for him to get back in the lineup, and hopefully – you know, the Nick Bonino injury won't last very long, and they can get Yannick Weber healthy. We'll see what, you know, Sam Girard's status is, if he's still on the roster at that point. But if the Preds can just be healthy at midway point of the year and still be in the division race, I think the division is good enough where it's going to be cannibalized and everyone's going to beat each other and no one's going to run away with it. And if the Preds can stay in that pack, I like their chances in the second half, just like the last couple seasons, in having a second-half surge in the Western Conference.
Obviously, something on our minds tonight will be Colin Wilson. He will be making his return to Bridgestone Arena now with the Colorado Avalanche, in case you're wondering, wearing number 22. But Colin Wilson, to me, his career in Nashville was a roller coaster ride, and I don't think he ever quite lived up to the potential that we all thought he had. What do you think a change of scenery in the long run is going to do for Colin Wilson?
Well, we'll see. I mean, he has 1 point in six games, still no goals with Colorado Avalanche. It's almost like he's done that before in Nashville. But, you know, he's a player that we always see the talent with Colin Wilson, but he doesn't display it enough. And there have been way too many times over the years where he just disappears. And more of those moments have come in the regular season as opposed to the postseason. You know, last postseason, he had a nagging injury. He did score a big goal in Game 5 at Anaheim to tie the game late in the second period before Pontus Åberg, or Åberg, won it in the third period. But, you know, the postseasons prior against San Jose, Anaheim, and then Chicago the year before, he was awesome. But we never saw the playoff Colin Wilson during the regular season consistently. And obviously that's one big reason why Colin Wilson is no longer with the Nashville Predators and is making his return tonight as a member of the Colorado Avalanche.
And that was a big frustration, you know, for a lot of Predators fans, that they can never see the consistency out of Colin Wilson. So because of all that, what kind of reception do you expect him to get tonight?
I have no true expectation for it. I don't think he would get a video. I think he would get acknowledged on the Jumbotron during a timeout. I don't know if he had the type of career in Nashville compared to expectations to warrant a welcome back video. I don't know.
Right. I agree.
I'm guessing. I'm throwing darts up against a wall. But I don't think it warranted his career in Nashville warrants a video tribute.
You're getting choked up talking about it.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Colin Wilson just, you know, you get choked up when talking about him.
I'm going to say it's pretty safe that he will not, that will not happen.
I bet he gets acknowledged, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. Video tribute stuff, you know.
Right.
Acknowledged, sure. Showing him on the sitting on the bench.
Let him wave.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. And that warrants an ovation, and
right.
You move on.
And, you know, I think it'll be maybe a moment for him personally when he skates on that ice for the first time and looks up and sees a banner that he was a part of. So I think that you have that as well. I mean, I don't think there's any ill will towards Colin Wilson. It didn't work the way everybody had hoped it would, and he's moved on, and the Predators have moved on. And so I kind of think that, you know, you get through this game, and that's going to be it. And that's what it is. Darren, you were downstairs. It was an optional skate today. Any news and notes coming out of your time in the locker room?
I had a good conversation with PK Subban. You'll hear that in the pregame tonight during the 6 o'clock hour. But I saw Freddie Gaudreau down there. Good to see him.
Does he have a locker?
He does.
Okay,
actually, I was talking to him at his locker. He said, how are things going? I said, well, I'm kind of happy that it's, you know, the temperature's gone down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not 86 degrees every day as we sit here in the third week in October. I said, I bet it wasn't 86 degrees in Milwaukee. He said, no, it was not. I'm not sure. There's maybe like a one-month window where it gets 86 in Milwaukee. No, it's probably a lot like Cleveland where they actually have they have that window in the summer where it gets really, really hot, but then that window's short-lived, and it's right back in the cold. But I was talking to him. I think he said that there's, and you guys can look this up because I just got back up here. There was a weird scheduling quirk with Milwaukee that they play one game in 12 days. Is that right? I said, what are they on fall break? The Admirals? I mean, what is this?
Anybody
have that readily available? I would be curious. I've never heard of that in the middle of a hockey season.
I know the American League has an odd schedule sometimes, but
odd. You know, we can come up with other scenarios that would fit into the odd category.
Yeah, they
this one game
odd.
In 12
yeah.
days is that's extremely odd.
Between yeah. October 9th and October 20th, they play one game, and it yep. was Sunday at Rockford. So they
a 5-3 win.
They had 6 days off, then a game, and then 4 days off, and then they'll play two straight games this weekend.
Wow, weird, very weird.
Yeah, but, I don't really get that. There you go.
I actually asked, I thought it was interesting. Let me ask you guys this before I tell you where I'm going with this. How do you think the Predators' power play has been thus far?
Ryan?
5 games in.
I think it's been pretty good. Not as good as it could be, but Sam Girard has been a key key piece of that power play, obviously.
Yeah, and I think it's only going to get better when you get pieces back. When you get Yossi back, would be the big one. But I think it's been decent. Could definitely be better.
Why? Yeah, I think it's been pretty good. I mean, yes, it could be better. We know the 5-minute major happened here on Thursday. They weren't able to capitalize on a man advantage for 5 minutes. But overall this year, it's been pretty productive. I thought their penalty kill unit was even better on Saturday night. But I asked PK about that, and I said, why has the power play been working so well to this point? And he said, well, you know, it could be a lot better. And so I was a little surprised he went in depth on what they could do better. And, yes, it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been lights out. But it's not like it's – go ahead, Willie. Your mic's on. You just got back up here. Say it.
Well, the Predators' power play, I heard you guys talk about it. I just flipped open the stats here. They're at 29%. You take that every time. They're third in the NHL.
Right, that's what I'm getting percentage. At. It's third in the NHL.
So but they think it could be better.
So I was sitting there.
How much better can you get?
What is the answer? I mean, he went in this elaborate answer you'll hear tonight on pregame, and I'm like, wow. I mean, right there, third in the NHL in the stats. Has viewed it as it been perfect? No, but it's been really good to this point. And he was like, nah, it could be way better.
Wow.
And here's why. I'm like, okay.
Well, it's funny because you ask both Ryan and
you
that
guys
question,
were like,
and we're
it's
like,
okay.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
right,
okay.
You know?
Well, all right. So the 29% is a really good number. Now let's factor this in as well. In Boston, they scored
five on threes.
They scored two power play goals with the net empty late in the game. And then at the end of the Philadelphia game in the third period, in the last couple minutes, they scored two goals, 5-on-3. And one of those was with the net empty.
Well, one of them was 6-on-3,
correct.
And one of them was 5-on-4.
Right.
One guy had just come out of the box. So I get your point, but those count. I mean,
those
are still
those
power play
absolutely.
Goals.
But a couple of them, they had a three-man advantage, which, is, I mean, any power play should be able to take
it
advantage.
It should be really good.
Should.
A three-man advantage.
Should. It's not a cold lock guarantee in those situations, as you know, Willie, but, I mean – With 5-on-4, I think there can be some improvements, yeah.
I thought it was the best 5-on-5 game that they had all year long on Saturday. I thought that was – and Pierre Laviolette echoed that in his morning press conference, that he thought they were very, very sharp in the process. He said, now what hurt was late in the game, they went into the penalty box too much, even though they killed off the penalties.
They killed off six.
They lost the momentum and the rhythm of the 5-on-5. Because if you really watch the game, 5-on-5, they completely shut down the Blackhawks. Shut them down. Until they took two or three penalties in a row in the third period and sort of lost that momentum. And then they had that one sequence where they had trouble getting the puck out. And then the whole Irwin play happened. And Chicago, as they're known for through the years, opportunistic and just found a way to get the game to overtime. But I think the encouraging thing is that each game, we'll talk to Kevin McCarthy at noon.
Opportunistic is an interesting word.
That's the Blackhawks.
Considering what happened.
Yeah. But the good news is, in terms of the overall game, the game that you're looking for, is it's gotten better every game. The worst game that they played by far was the Boston game to start the year. A little bit better, even though the results weren't better in Pittsburgh. Better in the two home games, and I think it was the best all year with the Blackhawks. Now, that's hard to comprehend if you're just sitting there looking at the scores, because sometimes the scores don't always indicate how well you played. But usually you play well, the results are there.
We'll come back with This Is What I Know. Kevin McCarthy, Predators assistant coach, will join us at the table to kick off the third hour of 3D. Those are all things on tap here on 102.5 The Game.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Derek, and Donick. 3D.
It's TWIC time. Tell us what you know. This is what I know. Fill in the blank. Very simple. Wide open canvas. Best one, though, is going to win tickets to go see Jimmy Buffett in the Coral Reefer Band. Special guest Huey Lewis, Bridgestone Arena, New Year's Eve, where we're at right here on December 31st. Pretty cool. Really good prize. But you got to participate. Got to tell us what you know. 737-1025. 737-1025. With a prize like this, you're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to bring it. So anybody want to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
Because I haven't had a chance to weigh in on the Titans game last night. But this is what I know. I was impressed with three things, all regarding the hamstring injury of Marcus Mariota. I'm sure you guys have covered this to some degree. But in a nutshell, I was impressed with, one, Mariota's ability to adjust and hang in there in a game where he clearly could not move. He was not going to run. Number two, based on that, good game plan. And number three, great job to protect him and not have him have to scramble and run for his life, unlike the week before where they could not protect Matt Castle. So that's what I know. Nice adjustment. It's not the greatest performance I've ever seen, but they got the job done. They'll have to be better going forward, but that was a nice job to be able to scrape together a win when your quarterback can't move.
He was spreading the ball around, and that's something that I've been waiting to see. It wasn't just one guy.
All right, let's get in there. Come on.
Participate.
People awake. Let's go. He's on. Let's go.
Do I need to be Derek?
You know, we're going to here soon, but let's get in there. Slow down these lines. We are not going to just toss these Jimmy Buffett tickets and Huey Lewis tickets out there.
We want competition.
If you don't earn it, then we'll put it back in the prize bin.
Got to earn it.
All right, what do you got, Chaser?
This is what I know. The Titans need to go with Derrick Henry. DeMarco Murray is obviously hampered by the hamstring, and I've said it time and time again. I've heard you guys say it. You need him down the stretch. They need 29 in the game down the stretch if they want to win the AFC South. Right now, I think Derrick Henry, while, you know, you take away the 72-yard run last night, it's a decent night. It's not a great night,
no.
But it's a decent night. He shows some explosiveness. He, as the game went on and he quit trying to jump to the outside every time, I thought he was making some decent runs. Ride Derrick Henry for now. Let DeMarco Murray get better and then have the two-headed running attack later on down the season.
His stats read 18 for 60.
Yeah.
That'd have been okay. Okay.
Not terrible. Not great.
Terrible. Not great. I mean, obviously, it looks totally different with that 72-yard touchdown
run. Right.
Guys, I'm going to admit this on This Is What I Know. It pains me to say this, but I must admit this. I have the postseason blues. This is what I know. I haven't been paying attention.
You've checked out.
I've checked out.
You checked out because the tribe's out. You're depressed.
I have the postseason blues, and since the tribe choked again, my heart's not in it.
I understand.
It's not in it.
I get it.
And it pains me. I'm a fan of the game. I love baseball, but I've checked out. I have. I'm here to admit that I've checked out. I take a peek here and there, but there's nothing there. The tank's empty.
You're human.
The tank is empty.
That's okay.
You're hurting. It's okay.
It pains me to watch. Because I had my heart set on another long run. A long run to the end. I was making plans. That was a mistake. So that's what I know.
Yeah. And I really think that the series are going to be great. Last night, the Yankees sort of put a little distance between themselves and the Astros, got back in the series, but I still think that's going to be a good series, and you're going to have a heck of an atmosphere in Wrigley tonight with the Cubs trying to fight to hang in there.
Sonny Gray pitching for the Yankees tonight, I believe.
Is he?
I saw that. Yeah, I think he is.
He did not pitch well in his last start in the regular season and in his game one performance against the Indians. Now, he's had long rest. He's been rested. He didn't pitch the rest of that series, so he's had a lot of days off here, so we'll see.
Is CeCe Sabathia, is he in a contract year?
Yes.
Of course. He has been really good this year. He's been really good in the playoffs. I mean, he's money. I said that because I really didn't know the answer, but you usually, I mean, I hate to say this, but when this happens in sports, for me, I tend to be a little bit jaded with guys that you haven't heard from in a while. I mean, CeCe hasn't been the typical CeCe Sabathia. He's had a great career, but let's be honest. We haven't been talking about CeCe Sabathia in many seasons. And this year, he's been really good, and he's been money in the playoffs. Absolute money.
He signed a 9-year contract after that great run he had as the rental player for the Brewers, remember?
A massive deal, where he went complete game shutout every game, yeah.
And he almost won the Cy Young.
Struck out
with
like 15
like
batters.
11 starts, and he ripped the hearts out of the Mets in the process. But Yankees signed him. They won the World Series in his first year, 2009, where he was still a power pitcher. And then along the way, he's had an alcohol issue that he had to go to rehab for. He's been very public about. He's had a couple of different injuries. He's adjusted from being a power pitcher to now a guy that throws a lot of cutters, a lot of changeups. He's got a formula that's working right now, though.
It is working.
He saved him last night, and he definitely, gave him a lift against the Indians.
Thanks.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, let's go.
So Sonny Gray.
Let's go to the phones.
737-1025. Keep it rolling. What do you know? It's very simple. What do you know?
It's very open-ended.
Anything.
Kevin in Portland, get us started. What do you know?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Sounded like the lines were a little slow, so I was going to liven you up a little bit.
Thank you.
Bring it.
I got three things, okay? We'll start off with the Preds, okay? The Preds, I know, have all the pieces. They shook off the doldrums. They played really well against Chicago, and if it wasn't for a couple of calls where they got totally hosed, they would have won that game. So they're back. Second of all, what I know is that the Titans managed to win last night one of the worst teams in football, managed to win, and they're going to be mediocre. And what I really know is that the Vols are about the worst you could ever be. And somebody was talking about how they were going to go 9-1 down the stretch or something. I'd be surprised if they go.
Well, they can't go 9-1 down the stretch.
On this show?
You know what I'm talking about. Everybody's talking about it. Come on, guys.
No, not on this show, Kevin.
They couldn't even get the first one. They can't even beat South Carolina. They suck. Just get rid of them.
You clearly have got your shows mixed up. This show has never said
that. Yeah, it was the earlier one because I usually go to work. I got the day off. But okay. The earlier show, the 4 a.m. show.
Then the 4 a.m. show. Too. And
all
then
right.
And the one in the afternoon.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
The GM. But thanks, fellas. Enjoy the show.
Appreciate it.
We have a 4 a.m. show?
Well, I don't think Braden and Fitz want a 4 a.m. show.
No.
No.
No, they don't get up that early.
No. All right. Good start. Yeah, no, that was not said on this show. That I can tell you. Let's go to Justin in Lebanon. What do you know?
Hey, guys, this is what I know. Y'all were talking about Wesley Woodyard looking good, but I thought Logan Ryan looked really, really good last night, and they contained T.Y. Hilton. I was impressed by that.
Yeah, I agree.
One catch?
One catch, 14 yards.
That's a great job.
Is that it, Justin?
That's it, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a good point.
Yeah, no doubt.
Jacoby Brissett was asked about that after the game. I was in his press conference, and he said, well, yeah, he's T.Y. Hilton. Of course, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, well, easier said than done.
Yeah, I know.
I think that was the game plan both games last year.
That's always the game plan. It is easier said than done. It doesn't mean they've stopped him.
No.
I mean, they did that last night, and Logan Ryan was a big part of that. So, yeah, I have certainly questioned. I like him, but I have certainly questioned what he brings to the table. $10 million a year. $10 million a year. That's what you expect. He delivered last night, so he deserves his props. Because I've seen games this year where it didn't feel like, to me, when you pay a corner $10 million a year, that's what you're supposed to be getting. Now, it's you can't go in there and just shut down every elite receiver
right.
in the league. It's just not how it works. Everybody wants to do that. But last night, that was legit. I mean, they did an unbelievable job on T.Y. Hilton.
I would be curious to know what the defensive coaches
think.
One
for 19, by the way. I said one for 14. One for 19.
I want to know what the defensive coaches think of the job that Logan Ryan has done. My observation is teams aren't throwing his way very often. They're much more likely to try to pick on Adoree Jackson or one of the other guys out of the nickel or the dime, Sims or whoever, or McCain. I saw them exploit McCain last night one time down the field.
I think that was Moncrief.
Yeah,
that catch.
So I don't know. I don't know that we know just how good Ryan is, but I think he's doing his job just because he's the guy that, well, we don't like that matchup as much as these other matchups. But the question that was brought up, I think, last week was, well, if Ryan is your main man, are you better off having him follow the best receiver all over the field? And that's not usually what that's not what they do in their scheme. But I would have to think that within their scheme, he's doing what he's been asked to do for the most part.
Let's go to Andy in Columbia. Andy, what do you know?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Hey, this is what I know. Marcus looked better as a passer because he was thinking pass first, run second. He was following through on his passes. He was stepping into them like I've been wanting him to do forever. And he looked like a real passer. And because pass first, wasn't thinking about run. Also, DeMarcus, he willed this team too because that run in the fourth quarter where he ran and he was out of bounds and still fighting. I could just see the will in the faces of he, Taylor, the old line, Marcus. They willed themselves to this win, and I think it's going to take them a long way this year.
All right. Andy?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I do like his presence. DeMarco Murray has presence out there, even if he's not 100%. But I do think this is something they'll have to keep managing. They've got the bye week coming. There's another thing that you really hope helps them is the bye week to try to get some guys healed up. I like the character that Mariota showed, too, after the pick six, which was ugly. And John Gruden made a good point that, you know, the blocker does have some responsibility to try to make the defender not be able to leap up like that. But
right.
still, that's ultimately on Mariota. But I like how he bounced right back. They came down the field. They got points on the board, and they put it behind him.
That's one thing we've seen out of him this year.
He's level-headed. He's poised.
If he makes a mistake, it doesn't ruin his day. I mean, he's able to shake it off and bounce back from it.
Let's go to Jason. Jason, what do you know?
Hey, guys, this is what I know. Major League Baseball has got to do more to shorten their game times.
These yes.
four-hour games, four-and-a-half-hour games are brutal to watch. And everything they've tried so far is extremely superficial. It's not helping very much. I'm thinking they need to go drastic. I'm thinking they need to actually consider taking the game from 9 innings down to 7 innings. It would make everything, every pitch, much more compelling. Because after the 6th inning, watching these managers have to make 14 different pitching changes so they can bring a guy in to throw 1-2 pitches is just getting brutal.
Thank you, Jason. Jason's saying, look, it needs to be more than just lip service and a tweak here, tweak there. He's saying it needs to be drastic. Now, obviously, it's not going to go from 9 to 7. But just thinking out loud with something he just said there. In other sports, in all sports, you have timeouts. You are assessed only a certain amount of times you can stop play. Why can't we implement that in baseball? Why do you get to stop play whenever you want? I mean, the whole one trip to the mound in an inning is silly because the quickest way to get out of that is just keep sending the catcher out there. I mean, why not make hard fast rules that's saying you're only allowed stoppage X amount of times and make it a strategy just like in other sports? I mean, why in baseball are you allowed to call basically as many timeouts as you want? Batters can do it, even though they've made a rule. But look, they still get around it. Catchers can go out there all day. Why?
Use
why do
the
they get
clock.
To go out there? I mean, why can't they figure out ways So, I mean, he's right. I mean, it needs to be drastic. We're not talking about 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, they need to make drastic changes. People just – we have figured out that our society today does not have 4 hours to dedicate to one game anymore in sports.
The more I watch it, the more I come to this conclusion. They have not done a very good job of understanding why the game is taking so much longer. It's not the trips to the mound. If you look back on games, and I do this a lot. I love – this is a hobby of mine, and I have said this. I come with hands up in the air.
I think it's called a sickness, not a hobby.
I have a sickness, and I'm a total nerd. But I love going back and watching broadcasts from my childhood, postseason games from when I was younger. There's a lot to learn. I like, as an announcer, you know, listening to some of the great announcers back then, but also I love watching the games over again. They used to do all kinds of stuff. They used to not have the guy warm up in the bullpen, so they'd send the catcher out. He'd go back. Then the manager would walk very slowly out there, and the announcers would always say, "They're just giving the guy time to get some extra throws in there." You don't do that anymore. They've tried to look at that, but that's not why. Because back then, they would do all that, and the game would still last 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Do they make throws when they come from the bullpen to the mound?
Back then?
No, now.
What do you mean?
When they come out, when they make a pitching change in an inning, when they get to the mound, do they take practice throws? Do they warm up?
Well, obviously, yes.
That's my point. I've said on this show many, many times, eliminate that.
No.
Yes.
Because, see, you're not seeing my point. Those things are not why the game is longer.
So you're out in the bullpen for doing all that, and then you come to the mound and you warm up some more?
They've been playing the game for 100 years. The pitcher gets to warm up. That's part of the game. You can't eliminate that. What you can do...
Things that they did for 100 years are not part of the game. Oh. You can't just say that. Well, that's how they've done it.
But you're not getting my point, Darren. Pick a year, 1985, 1980, 1990, even 1995... The games were taking two hours and 30 minutes, 2 hours and 45 minutes, and the pitchers warmed up. Now, how did they do that? They took more time with the managerial, you know, when they would call a pinch hitter into the game back then, they would have the pinch hitter come out of the dugout, and he would put the donut on, and he would get loose almost like he was warming up like a relief pitcher. And then he would come in. They would have this big to-do about you'd watch the pinch hitter get loose. He wouldn't just run up there. So the game is longer not because of these things. They're doing what they've always done. Now, they're trying to make it quicker, which is the right thing. The game is taking longer because the battle between the pitcher and the batter is taking longer. There's more time between pitchers. The count's going deeper. The ball doesn't get put in play as fast as it used to. Because it's such a tougher battle now. You used to get a lot more one-pitch outs, two-pitch outs. It just doesn't happen as much now. The strategy is different. So you do have to make up for it in other ways. But you can't get extreme about not letting the relief pitcher warm up. You can't do that.
Why? They warm up in the bullpen.
It's not fair.
Why do they need
because
to?
Because the mound is different. The mound is different.
I understand
in the game as
we've gone over this. I understand. Like, they can't adjust. Like, they get out there and they're like, you know, until I get on this mound and I make these warm-up pitches, I just will never be able to figure that. Like, this is going to mess me up until I get these warm-up pitches. They're professional pitchers. They've been doing this their whole life. You don't need warm-up pitches when you've been warming up in the bullpen. I mean, you have to – at some point, Willie, you have to be able to bend – In all kinds of areas.
That they have to bend.
To fix this.
They have to bend between innings.
And some of them have to be drastic and different.
They have to bend between innings and between pitches. To me, that is where they can save the time. It's not warming up.
No pitcher is ever going to agree.
What do you mean? It's not up to the pitchers. Who cares what they agree to?
Who cares what the pitchers
think? You just implement the rules.
The pitchers are a pretty important part of the game.
I don't ask players for what rules they want. Nor do the leagues.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I understand the PA in baseball, that's what hurts them. It's too strong.
The PA doesn't want a pitch clock.
I mean, I don't listen to the PA. I wouldn't let the PA dictate the sport.
Well, you're not going to win
the battle. You know, if you ask NASCAR drivers if they wanted to wear the Hans device, they all screamed and kicked and, I can't do this. I can't do it. Well, guess what? You don't ask them. You make them wear the Hans device, and guess what? After about five races, nobody ever said another word ever again when they told you it was the worst thing ever. It was impeding what they do. I don't ask athletes what they want to do. You make the rules what's best for the game. I don't care if a relief pitcher is demanding that he needs his warm-up pitchers. I don't care what he says. What's best for the game, that's what I care about.
That's not the solution. There's a lot of things you can do besides the warm-up pitches. But I do think the clock is going to have to be involved.
I'm not saying that fixes the game. I'm saying you have to pick all these things and throw them in there and see what's working. By the way, why don't you try it? Why don't you try all these things and see after a season what was working and what wasn't working? And you can adjust.
You have to allow the relief pitcher to warm up. That's never going to change. But there are a lot of other things that you can do. And I do think the clock, unfortunately, is going to have to be involved because the battle between the pitcher and the batter is taking longer, batter by batter. So you have to try to cut down on the time between pitches.
Doug, David, Jeff, the rest of you will get more This Is What I Know to wrap up the second hour of 3D next. We want you to tell us what you know, 737-1025. Best one? Go be right here where we're at, Bridgestone Arena, New Year's Eve. Don't make plans. Jimmy Buffett and Huey Lewis. Doug, what do you know?
Guys, I'm coming with a trifecta. Colin Kaepernick files a conclusion grievance against the NFL. Tiger Woods had four surgeries in the last 19 months, and his last win was 4 years ago. And Rick Pitino, we all know what's going on with him. This is what two of those three careers are done. And unless one of them goes to the CFL, he's done too. This is what I know.
Okay. Do we think all those careers are done? Like right now, what would we assess? Let's see. Let's just start with Pitino. Done.
Done.
He'll be in the NBA.
NBA.
I think
you think
back
college,
to the NBA.
He's done. Will he ever be on a college sideline again?
I think he'll be hit so hard that it would surprise me. At his age, I think he'll get a big show cause, I would think. I don't know what's going to come out of the meeting with the FBI. I guess he's like a vampire, man. You never know if you can.
That's why I'm asking.
But my guess is he would go to the NBA.
I don't even know.
He would escape to the NBA.
There have been others where I said no way, and they still kept coming
back.
Jerry
Tarkanian, when he left UNLV, I thought, well, there's no way he's coming back. And he ended up at Fresno State. It started doing the same stuff there.
Kelvin Sampson is coaching. So, Larry Brown, he's kind of had some.
Exactly.
Larry Brown's.
The question is FBI. This is the FBI. This isn't the NCAA.
Okay, Tiger Woods.
Okay, define done with him.
I don't know.
Define done. Like, is he going to play another
major?
I
think he will play again.
I think he'll keep trying to play.
He will keep trying to play.
Kaepernick, I believe, is done. File the grievance.
Yeah.
You're done.
In the NFL.
Wow.
I mean, he could go play Canada.
I think that's what happens.
That would be some good bovada.
Bovada odds?
Yeah.
Let's go to Jeff in Hendersonville. Jeff, what do you know?
Hey, who I know. I think the Titans lucked into some really, really good fortune. Mariota getting hurt, I think, was probably the best thing that ever happened to him. He learned how to stand in the pocket. Read option is a cop-out. Play action is big football player. But that two-headed monster that you guys got in the backfield, he just learned how to be a franchise quarterback. Going to take some hits, a little scary, but it puts everybody in play. And I think he learned how to do that. So that's what I know.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. I don't know if it's the best thing that ever happened to him getting hurt, but I think it is going to help him in the long run. Let's go to David. David, what do you know?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Last caller kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but this is what I know. He's a great ball coach. He's a steady guy. He's exactly what the team needs right now. But just thinking beyond what we're doing right now and the places that he could take us, I don't think he's the guy that could take us to a Super Bowl. And I caught the tail end of your baseball discussion a while back.
I believe the pitchers get 15 warm-up pitches. Maybe they could cut that down to like 5, especially
after they don't get 15. They get 8.
They get 8? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew it was.
Now, you
want to
bargain for 6 instead of 8? Okay, maybe we can do that.
I would like to bargain for 0.
That's not going to happen, ever.
I agree. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Dave. Let's go to Zach in Franklin. Zach, what do you know?
All right, thanks, guys. This is what I know. I know that Titans team is as good as so many of those other players are on that team. The last couple weeks have been proof that we have to, and the past 2 years, we have to have the Maserati on the field to win the ball games. It's just, you know, nothing against Matt Castle, nothing against Colin Kaepernick. If for whatever reason he got picked up sometime in the future and Maserati goes down again, I disagree with the last callers too. I'm really happy that he's passing more and people are starting to respect his arm a little more than you know they have in the past. But I know that man, you know, he can take off. That's how he hurt his hamstring. I mean, I just blowing through past people at just unbelievable speed. You know, and you know, so as far as getting hurt goes, I'm gonna cross my fingers. We keep him on the field the rest of the season, and you know, we'll see the postseason for sure. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Let's get Jude in here. Jude, what do you know?
Hey guys, you got me?
Yep.
Hey, don't think Kaepernick may be done because he filed a grievance. Because didn't A-Rod do the same thing in baseball, and he played again too, didn't he?
He did.
All right.
That is correct.
He wasn't particularly popular,
usually it shows us more times than not that it ends up costing you your career. But you're right. That's a great example.
Well, you never know. And the way quarterbacks are dropping, someone maybe eventually give him a shot. But a little something off the subject here. Have y'all listened to A-Rod though do some baseball commentary?
I like what he does. I think he does a really good job.
He does, doesn't he? I'm shocked. I mean, he really gives you a good perspective. Let me tell you someone else real quick, and I know that doesn't apply to this here, but did you ever listen to Joe Morgan call a game? The color man for Joe Morgan?
Of course.
Joe Morgan did it? The old Cincinnati Red second baseman?
Of course.
I thought he did a great job, and a lot of people hated him. I never understood that. He's another one that gave you good perspective on it.
Oh, I thought he was
no
excellent.
Doubt.
I thought he was
all
excellent.
All right, Jude, thank you. Appreciate it. When we come back, third hour, we'll bring in Predators assistant coach Kevin McCarthy, who ran to the set. Man, maybe we need to go run during the break. I kind of feel like, you know, he held up his end of the bargain. He's out, you know, out here running around. We should run during the break. We'll come back. We'll talk to him next on 3D 102.5 The Game.